have wearied the Lord with your words. How have we wearied him, you ask? By saying, all who do evil are good in the eyes of the Lord, and he is pleased with them. Or where is the God of justice? I will send my messenger, who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant, whom you desire, will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offering in righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord, as in days gone by, as in former years. So I will come to you to put you on a trial. I will be quick to testify against sorcerers, adulterers, and perjurers, against those who defraud laborers of their wages, who oppress the widows and the fatherless, and deprive the foreigners among you, justice, but do not fear me, says the Lord. Second reading is from the book of Revelation and can be found on page 1250. And it's chapter 22, verse 1, starting verse 1. Page 1250. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruits every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of the lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Anna. Well, good morning, and let me add my welcome to Andy's. You might find it helpful to keep that first reading open, the one in Malachi, on page 961, as that's what we'll be looking at. But before we do, let me lead us in a prayer. Lord God, your words are full of truth. And you use them to teach us, to comfort us, to encourage us. So we pray that your words this morning would do the same, that we would be taught by them, that we would be comforted by them, that we would be encouraged by them. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Where is the God of justice? I wonder, is that a question you have ever asked? Where is the God of justice? So I'm confident that there are Ukrainian refugees who have asked this in the last few weeks, as they're forced from their homes, travelling across Europe with only what they can carry. But maybe you've asked it in smaller situations, but as you get passed over for a job because the other person was friends with the interviewer, or because you've experienced being treated differently because of your gender or race. Maybe as a loved one gets sick. That is the question that Israel have been asking God. I mean, in chapter 2, verse 17, they ask, where is the God of justice? But just before that, they don't only accuse him of that. In verse 17, they also say, all who do evil are good in the eyes of the Lord, and he is pleased with them. That's quite the accusation, isn't it? saying that God is happy with evil. You can imagine it, though. Now, why has Putin been in power for so long? Why do giant companies get away with poor working conditions for their employees? Isn't God supposed to look after his people? Isn't he supposed to look after us? Well, here, in chapter 3, God responds. And he says he has a long-term plan for this. Justice is coming. And so he tells us about the next step in that plan to bring justice to the universe. So firstly, in chapter 3, verse 1, we see that the Lord himself is coming. The Lord is coming. So look at me and down at verse 1. I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. So God says, I'm going to send a person. And do you want to know where the God of justice is? Well, he's on his way. I'm going to send him. Before that person comes, I'm going to send a messenger. And don't get confused, there are two messengers in that verse. So the first one, we know that is John the Baptist, because the New Testament quotes this exact verse, saying it is John the Baptist. Well, who comes next after John the Baptist? It's the Lord, the God of justice. So we know that the one after John the Baptist is no ordinary man. He's going to be the Lord God himself in human form. Jesus, the God-man. And he is called the messenger of the covenant. Now, the covenant is essentially God's promise to Israel. So this is the messenger of God's promise. And when the Lord comes, he is going to keep his promise. He's saying, I know it doesn't look like I'm blessing you right now. I know it looks like you're in dire straits. Israel has just returned from exile in Babylon, and the temple looks awful. The city is nothing like it once was. But if only you could see the big picture. If you could remember how I have saved Israel again and again and again, you would know that I am the God of justice, and I am coming. And for us, God could say even more. He could say, look back, I came, I saved you. I died for you. I began justice on the cross. So even more than them, we can trust that God is the God of justice, even in whatever dark place we might find ourselves in. When we moved to Doncaster 3.5 years ago, we were fortunate to get a good landlord. We got on very well with him. He's very friendly. He cares for us well. He brings us apples from his tree in the garden in the summer. He keeps on top of all the maintenance for the house we live in. And so some years ago, before we came, the landlord installed a water pump in our airing cupboard. And you see, without this pump in the airing cupboard, the shower upstairs, well, it's just a dribble. It's not really a shower at all. And a month ago, the pump started to get a bit louder, started to sound very rattly. And I thought, okay, I'll keep an eye on this and see what's going to happen. But a couple of days later, the shower reduced itself to a dribble, and I could smell the smell of burning dust coming out of the airing cupboard, and the pump had pretty much stopped working, and it was just really hot. And so we had to switch it off, and it was most certainly broken. And so we talked to our landlord about it, as you do when you're renting. And the very next morning, he came around straight away to look at it. Now, he can't fix it himself, but he says to me he will get it sorted. He needs to go off and find the same type of pump to replace it and to get his plumber to install it. But when he said that, when he said, I'm going to fix it, I had total confidence that he would fix it. And that he would fix it as soon as he could for us. Because you see, I trust his character. I trust his word. He has proven time and time again that he responds when something breaks in the house. And he's proven that he doesn't cut corners, but he takes responsibility. Responsibility as landlord seriously. And in the end, it actually took 3 to 4 weeks, longer than he had said and he had hoped. But every time I was frustrated at the lack of a shower, I didn't moan about the landlord. I didn't say, where is the reliable landlord? No, I was confident that he would get it done. I was confident he was doing all he could. Now, it was fixed last Friday. Turns out that tradesmen are super busy and really hard to pin down right now. But I was absolutely right to trust him, even when it seemed like it was taking longer than it should have done. It was right that I was confident that he was still doing all he could to fix it. And in the same way, God has said he is coming. Israel should be confident that he will come. They only have to look at his track record with them. And we should be confident that Jesus will come again. That he will bring the justice that verse 5 tells us about. We only have to look at his track record, not only in the Old Testament, but on the cross. That the Lord is coming, and we can be confident about that. And so in the rest of this passage, we see that the Lord will do two things. And firstly, the Lord is coming to restore his people. Verses 2 to 4, the Lord is coming to restore his people. Now, verse 2 doesn't seem like a good thing at first, but do stick with it, and it will become clear how this is good news. Verse 2 says, "But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap." And that's just a special soap that was used for kind of cleaning and thickening wool, apparently. There's a similar process to refining. And so God says, "I'm coming." When that happens, do you think you're going to be okay? Do you really think that you want justice? Because if so, God's going to have to start with you. He's going to have to start with us, because we are part of the problem. You know, we all have areas in our life that compete with God for the number one spot. And so when we call for justice, we can't be left out. And there's a story of a lady who was having a portrait painted by a successful artist. Now, she wasn't particularly attractive by the standards of the day. And as she sits there, she looks across to the artist. She says, "I hope you do me justice." Now, the artist was the sort of person who tended to be blunt and brutally honest. And so he said, "It's not justice you need, but mercy." It's very harsh, isn't it? This lady did not see herself how the artist and society at the time did. But this is what is happening here. Israel want justice, but they don't see that they are part of the problem. They need mercy. And the good news is, that is what God then offers in verses 3 and 4. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord, as in days gone by, as in former years. You see, the Levites, they were simply the spiritual leaders of Israel, and it was kind of through them that all of Israel had a relationship with God. And you might remember back in chapter 1, we saw these spiritual leaders were offering half-hearted worship. They were kind of fed up, they were jaded. Cynical. Well, now God says in verse 3, "I will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap." And again in verse 4, he says, he's going to refine them and purify them. And the end result is they will be righteous again, and their worship again will be right. It won't be half hearted, it won't be cynical. He's going to take these shoddy second grade offerings that they've been bringing so far. Make sure that they are up to scratch. And he's going to purify the Levites inwardly, their hearts, so that they will not want to be cynical anymore. They won't want them to do half-hearted worship. But they will come in righteousness. And that last bit in days gone by and former days is because in Malachi they are constantly comparing their situation to the good old days when Israel was glorious and the temple was grand. And so God kind of says, it will be like days gone by. You will worship me rightly again. But the truth is, what God has planned is so much more than they can imagine. It will be so much more than the days gone by, the good old days. And we get the great privilege of looking back to when the Lord came. When Jesus came, and he makes the sacrifices and worship of the Levites acceptable. by being the only priest that we need and by doing that job perfectly. So the Levite's worship is now perfect because, well, Jesus does it all. And he does it rightly, forever, and perfectly. And so that's why in Hebrews in the New Testament it says, through Jesus then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God. It is through him that our worship is acceptable. Also, the Spirit is at work in us, purifying our hearts day by day. We are all works in process. In progress, even. Some of you might remember all the kind of home improvement shows that were on TV around the year 2000, I think it was. Like changing rooms, location, 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 homes under the hammer. And so someone will have maybe bought a house and they'll come onto this TV show to get it renovated. And the first stage after discussing what they want, well, it's normally to rip out all of the bad stuff. And so you get a montage of clips of shelves being ripped off walls, of rusty radiators being thrown into skips, maybe even a sledgehammer's kind of taken to a wall. And then you'll see this full skip of junk taken away. And the next thing is they get to kind of fixing things, to installing new appliances, and then after that they'll decorate. And the last thing that happens is all the tools are removed, and the scaffolding is taken down, the dust sheets are taken off the furniture, and then you see the house in all its glory. And something like that is happening when you place your trust in Jesus. Well, then it's like Jesus has just purchased you. You now belong to him. And when God looks at you, he sees Jesus, a bit like the kind of mock-up of images of housing development you see on the kind of fences that go around them. So this is what it's going to look like. Well, that's what kind of God sees. But then the Spirit works in us throughout our life, taking out the old, the rusty, to make us new, ripping out the old and the sinful, and putting in the fruits of the Spirit, joy, gentleness, kindness, patience. And that's where we are now in that process of being refined, of being purified. If there are dust sheets and scaffolding around our life, we're not finished. When Jesus returns, all who trust him will be seen in all their glory, refined and purified, perfectly reflecting the image of God. This is the wonderful mercy that God offers us. Yes, we long for justice, and we also deserve justice done to us. But the good news is that God offers mercy in Jesus, who makes our worship acceptable, but is also refining and purifying us. And the second thing that the Lord is coming to do is to judge evil. So look with me now at verse 5, where God continues to say, "So I will come near to you for judgment. I will be quick to testify against sorcerers, adulterers, perjurers, against those who defraud laborers of their wages, who oppress the widows and the fatherless, and deprive aliens of justice. Do not fear me, says the Lord God Almighty." So God will judge all injustice. He will judge the bad bosses. He will judge those who take advantage of the vulnerable, the widow, and the orphan. He will judge those who turn a blind eye to the wrongs done to immigrants and to refugees. We don't necessarily see it now as much as we would like. We don't see a world now where justice reigns. So we might still want to say, where is the God of justice? You might be thinking, okay, we can see that you might have started when Jesus came, but what's the deal now? Hasn't been a swift justice to judge those who oppress the hired worker? I mean, we see all over the world that people don't get the wages they deserve for their work. Doesn't seem like he's been on the side of the widow and the fatherless. It's because again, you see many orphans and there are many widows who seem to suffer and are impoverished. And then he mentions the aliens, the immigrants, those who are refugees. I mean, currently, as we sit here, 3.3 million refugees have left Ukraine, moved on by war and injustice. And where's God? Is he going to sort all that out? When it seems like he hasn't done that as much as we would like yet. Well, in verse 5, he says, yes, I will. But verse 5 is yet to happen. Jesus has come once and begun what God says in verses 3 and 4, but he will come again and he will judge. He's going to put all on trial. All will be judged, including all evil. And God sees all that is happening, and he is getting ready to testify, to be the witness that says all that he has seen. The evidence is being piled up. And recently I've been enjoying a TV show called Suits. It's all about some corporate lawyers in New York. And the drama comes in each episode because there are always hiccups and hurdles and roadblocks to the cases they're working on. So every episode, it begins with this case they have evidence, and they have a reason that they are confident they're going to win this case. But every time, something comes up causing a problem. Maybe one of their pieces of evidence won't be acceptable in court. Maybe the other side has intimidated their client into settling for money rather than going to court. And so they have to find a way around the problem. Sometimes it is new evidence. So often they find a technicality in the small print that would be bad for their opponent. I mean, it all sounds very complex and not always like a fair trial. But that is exactly what it won't be with God. It will not be like this because there is a massive pile of evidence. It will not be the case for the trial in verse 5. God sees all, and the evidence against all evil is mounting up. And when Jesus returns, each case of evil have a pile of evidence that is undeniable. So where is the God of justice? Well, he is getting ready for trial. Justice is coming for everyone, and Jesus will be the judge. And in his mercy, God has given us the opportunity to know that judge, and has shown us he is the judge by raising him from the dead. The question is, when we stand before him, will there be a pile of evidence, exhibit A, B, C, going on and on? Or will Jesus the judge declare, I have already paid the cost for you on the cross? Because if you have trusted him and clung to him in this life, then that is what he will say. So where is the God of justice? Well, he is coming. He is coming to restore his people and to judge. Lord God, we thank you that you are the God of justice. We thank you that we can be confident that you will judge all evil, and that you have been merciful unto your people, those that cling to you and trust in your Son. Please help us to be patient and to be those that seek justice now and in this life, as we long for the day when you will bring complete justice. We pray this in Jesus' name, by the power of the Spirit. Amen.